Does anyone remember that announcement? Anybody remember that? Anybody remember when the iPhone came out? Yeah, I remember watching that, and I don't know about you, but I was skeptical at what it was going to be. I'm like, really, you're going to put all this on one phone? Weren't we so naive back then? Because for me, let me tell you, I don't know about you, but when the iPhone came out, the smartphone came out, it took something away, and probably this might have been just a cell phone, but did anybody else have a pager at one point? Pager? I tell you what, the pager era was a good time, okay? Because you could get, people could get a hold of you, but not by phone, not by call. And I feel like I mastered the pager. One of the things that you could do on a pager, like you could turn numbers upside down to send messages, but the key ended up being, I was like 18 when I had a pager. And so what you would do is, you know, every letter has, or every number has letters underneath the A, B, C, D, E, F. Like, and so you would just send messages without decoding them. You would send them to someone, and I'll tell you what, I was smooth. I would send messages to girls, and they'd have to decode it, and then you kind of wait. Like, I remember, that was the deal back in the day. Now it's just all got to be straightforward. Speaking of love messages, let me introduce you to my wife. So I don't send her coded messages anymore. She sends me coded messages all the time, just in life. But this is my wife. And then my two boys, my number 12 right there, he's a senior in high school. He's actually going to Southeastern University to play football. And then my 16-year-old to the right, his name's Bryden. It's Karsten and Bryden. He's a little basketball player and great kids, but they are praying for you guys. Actually, the football player is in Budapest right now, Hungary, on a mission trip. So he's probably not praying for you. He's probably praying for himself out there on the mission field. But the rest of my family's praying for you guys. And man, I'm so glad to be here. Like Shay was saying, I love you guys. I love this church. I love Kevin, the team. And we've been friends for a while. I've walked with you guys for a while. I've spoken here before. And watching what God's doing and watching the way he's moving and watching the vision that Kevin has for this community. And let me just say this. If you're new here at Crossline, you're still getting plugged in, I would encourage you to take whatever step you need to take to get more involved, to serve if you're not serving somewhere, to serve if you're not giving, to give on a regular basis. The reason why is because you are a part right now. It's hard to see it. It's easy to see from the outside, from my perspective, but it's hard to see. You are a part of a move of God right now. And God is moving, and he's going to impact this community in a really special way when you guys move onto the property and you move into the building. And so get involved right now so that you can be a part of what God's doing through Crossline. But back to the message and the Steve Jobs announcement. You know, it's interesting. When Steve Jobs came onto the scene, he announced this. You know, we really didn't understand how much our world was going to be transformed. Like, we really didn't see what it was going to look like and how every single one of our lives have changed since they introduced the smartphone. Steve Jobs actually says this. He says, people don't know what they want until you show it to them. And when he showed us the iPhone, it was for all of us. We weren't sure that we needed that. We weren't sure we wanted that. But now it's one of those things that honestly, we just can't really live without. One of the things I encourage families to do at times, I say, hey, one of the best things you can do is over dinner time or at some point in your night, plug all your phones in a separate room and then come together and hang out. And you would be amazed at how many people are like, we could never. It's because we feel so connected to these phones that we have as we go through it. And so it has just changed our reality. And what we're going to talk about throughout the series is how Jesus changed reality when he also came onto the scene. And he came onto the scene in the same way with an announcement. Announcement of how reality was going to change. It's actually in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. That when he introduces the kingdom of God, he's introducing that reality has changed. He reveals that we are all living in a kingdom. And when he comes onto the scene, he lets us know that we are all a part of a kingdom. And essentially what he says is there are two kingdoms for us to live under. And he talks about this all throughout scripture. When you read scripture, he basically says there's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of this world. That either we are going to live in the kingdom of God or we're going to choose to live in the kingdom of this world. And we have a choice which kingdom to live under, and we have to decide which kingdom we're going to live under. And he talks all throughout Scripture about these two kingdoms, about how we can choose to live in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. Now, if you're a Christ follower, I was thinking about this week. I think we probably intuitively know this. And the reason is because if you're following Jesus with your lives, that you would say when Jesus in Scripture talks about the fact that we live, or that he's going to give us life and give it to the full, and he's going to give us an abundant life, and when we follow him, our life's going to be abundant. I think if we were to be honest, and if we were to go around and describe our lives, I don't know that we would all describe that every part of our life is really living that abundant life. In fact, my guess is that if we went around and talked about how we're doing, we would say things like, we're tired. In fact, and there have been studies done, the number one answer that people answer when asked, how you doing, is, I'm tired, tired. Or we're full of fear. We're scared. Like we're not okay. We don't have peace. And my guess is for most of us, and I thought about how to illustrate this, my guess is that even if you're a Christ follower, it's not that you're not living in the kingdom of God, and it's not that you're living completely in the kingdom of this world, but I love that there's the design of the stage, because I think this illustrates this really well. It's almost like for most of us, we're living like this. We're living in this, we're half in, half out, we're in the kingdom of God, but we're also in the kingdom of the world. Like we're going back and forth as far as where we live, and our lives are this complex, and sometimes we feel like we have so much peace and we're living with God and we're living the abundant life, and sometimes we feel like we're full of fear and we know God can do it and he can take control and we're just not sure it's going to happen, and God is so present and so there and he's so with me, and God, where are you? Why don't you show up? And we live in this straddled version of the kingdoms that we're living in, that some of our world is really defined by the kingdom of this world, and some of our world is defined by the kingdom of God. And so for the next few weeks, when we talk about this, here's the goal. I'll tell you the goal for the series of the next few weeks, that we would take more of a step into the kingdom of God than we are in the kingdom of the world. That we begin to live in the kingdom of God more in our lives than we live in the kingdom of the world. And if we do this, and if we choose to do this, my encouragement to you is, I believe that all that God talks about, the abundant life, you will experience it more. But that will happen when we decide to live in the kingdom of God. And so what we're going to talk about today, I'm actually going to introduce three concepts or three principles as it has to do with kingdoms that I believe is going to be a good kickoff for the next few weeks as we go through the series. So three kingdom principles we're going to talk about today. The first one is this, is our kingdom shapes our thoughts and our behaviors. Our kingdom shapes our thoughts and our behaviors. I've been married. I showed you a picture of my wife. We've been married for 20 years. And when I got married, before I got married, I did not realize how different my family was than every other family. Anybody else like that? You got married and realized my family's just a little different, or their family's a little different, whichever way you want to look at it, you know. But I realized when I got married that the way I was raised, the way we did things was so different. Like one of the things in my wife's home, when they got up and they got ready for school and before they started their day, they all made their beds. Anybody else in a bed-making family? Anybody else? Yeah, they made their beds. Do it. This was the deal. For me, I don't literally remember making my bed ever when I was a kid. Like, I'm sure we did. I just don't remember. It certainly was not a daily thing. So when we got married, my wife told me, I just love when the bed's made. And I remember she told me she just really wanted the bed made. And I've heard people say, hey, when you make the bed in the morning, you start the day off with a win. And I'm like, I go to the gym in the morning. That's my win. I don't need to make the bed. Like, I'm fine. Like, ah. But you start with a win. And I've decided, my wife says she feels good when the bed's made. So when I'm there and the bed's not made, I'll make the bed. We've been married 20 years. And I still don't think it's a good idea. Like, I still am like, I don't understand the point of this. It's just, she when we get to bed at night, if the bed's not made, she will make it before we get in bed. I think it's lunacy. I don't understand what she's doing. I'm like, what are you doing? The fact that you're, like, it doesn't make sense to me. But that's the way she was raised. That's the way she grew up. One of the areas, Christmas, the way we celebrate Christmas. We were never more different than this. Her family, it was so interesting when I learned about her family. Her family took turns opening gifts like crazy people. Like you take turns, they would take turns opening gifts, and her mom wanted them to be careful the way they opened the gifts because her mom liked to recycle wrapping paper. Right? So I agree. I don't understand what you were doing. Like, you really need to do this again? My family, we didn't take turns. Here were the rules growing up because we didn't even have wrapping paper. We had newspaper. Anybody else had your presents and newspaper? That was the good old days. I'll tell you what, they were newspaper. We would get downstairs and we would wait. We would wait, and there were a couple rules. We couldn't open all the gifts until all the parents were downstairs. Like everyone was downstairs. My mom and my stepdad had to come down. And the second rule was don't make too much noise because inevitably my stepdad was hungover and we didn't want to mess him up. But those were the rules. But then it was like go, and we just ripped them to shreds and opened them up as we went through it. Well, I didn't understand how different we were, but the reason why we were so different is because the families we were in shaped our thoughts and behaviors. And in the same way, the kingdom that we choose to belong to should shape our thoughts and our behaviors. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." In other words, their mind is set on the kingdom of this world. Their thought process is all about what's in front of them and all about the kingdom of this world. But our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Everybody say heaven. Heaven. It's in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom that we choose to live in shapes our thoughts and our behaviors. So here's one of the questions that I want to ask us today. And I want you to think about and ponder. Which kingdom is primarily shaping your thoughts and your behaviors? When you think about the way you view life, when you think about the way you view work, when you think about the way you view family and view others, do you look towards Scripture and the way God leads to determine the way you view things? Or do you feel, think, and do, and then try to find Scripture to back up what you think, feel, and do? Do you allow the kingdom of God to determine how you act and interact? Do you allow the kingdom of God to determine what success looks like? Because in the kingdom of God, you know what success is in the kingdom of God? Success in the kingdom of God is, God, what do you want me to do? And then we do it. That's what success is. That he is the king, and if we are going to submit to the king, then the king gets to determine what right is, what wrong is, what we need to do. We don't determine that. In the kingdom of this world, it is almost like we are completely up to ourselves to determine what right is, what wrong is, what we want to do. And it's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else's standard is. And we leverage ourselves financially, and we put ourselves and we get upside down in houses and cars and things, not because it matters to us, but because we're trying to keep up with or show off to or walk with someone. And we get caught in that. The way that you think and the way you behave, is it more determined by the kingdom of this world or by the kingdom of God? The second kingdom principle is that we drift towards the kingdom of this world. It is natural for us to drift to the kingdom of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." It is natural for us to be conformed to the pattern of this world. There is a thing inside of us that pulls us to want to live in the kingdom of this world. There's a drift that happens. In Galatians chapter 5, it actually talks about how this pull is on us. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So the desires of the flesh are the things that pull us. It's that drift. It's that draw. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." And he really points this out. And I think a lot of us understand this. That there is this thing that's against each other. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, they are pulling at us and they are at war with each other. And he says they're against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, if you're going to break free, you have to be led by the Spirit, and you have to allow God to lead you. And then he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And then he lists out these works of the flesh. And we're going to keep this up for a minute because we're going to talk to this. But he says sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those who do such things are living in the kingdom of this world. And what he's saying here, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, these things, this is not how we live when we want to live in the kingdom of God. This is not how we are to live if we're going to live for what God has for us and live in the life that he's called us to. And here's the thing about this list, if you actually read them. When going through this list, as I read through it, I thought, you know, most of these things. So let me point out sorcery. Sorcery on there. You know, like when we think about sorcery, I don't know about you, but I think about like witchcraft. But the actual origin of this word is not witchcraft. It is what they would do is they would take plants, they would mix up plants, they would take the plants, and then it would like affect them physically. Basically, it's the use of drugs. Okay, so if you're trying to figure out like sorcery, that's not my life. But any one of these, when you start doing any one of these a little, you do not have an immediate negative effect to you most of the time. But over time, there's a cumulative effect. And it grows. And over time, most of these things will hurt us in ways and hurt relationships in ways and hurt us spiritually in ways. They will take away our peace and implant fear into our lives. And here's the question. Where have you drifted? Dads, I was actually praying through this list of like, okay, how does this apply? You know, the word idolatry came out. If you're a dad, let me ask you this. Is your success more important than God's success? Is your success at work more important than the success at home? Is you winning more important? If God were to tell you to quit your job tomorrow or change directions or do something different, like would that be hard for you? Have you allowed success to be your idol? Young person, have you allowed your impurity to slip in? And really the phrase that I hear a lot is, yeah, but everyone's doing it. Anytime you say everyone's doing it, it's usually an excuse to not do what you know you're supposed to do. Because everybody sleeps around. Everybody looks at stuff on the internet. Everybody does it. And if we're trying to stay in the kingdom of the world, you can use that excuse. But have you allowed yourself to drift? Ma'am? Miss, I don't know the right phrasing for that, ma'am, woman, ladies. Have you let enmity and strife and dissensions, let me just ask it this way, is there anyone you're holding on to unforgiveness towards and has put a wedge between you and them? There, if you're to be honest, there's hate in your heart and you've justified it and you've buried it and you've ignored it, but you've allowed those things to sit. And you try not to think about it, and you push it to the back of your mind. Business owner, you have fits of rage. You treat your employees sometimes the way you shouldn't, but you justify it because of your success. Have you given in to, we talked about sorcery, drugs, or alcohol. Have you done any of this to medicate the pain you feel and the stress you feel? Have you drifted? Is there any area right now, if you were to be honest, you were to say, hey, man, I've drifted in this area. I've allowed myself to live more in the kingdom of this world, and I know it's not right. And then the third principle, kingdom principle, is we have to choose to live in the kingdom of God daily. Because we drift towards the kingdom of this world, we have to choose to live in the kingdom of God daily. We've raised our kids, one of the things we taught them, and that word choose in there is very intentional, because everything we do is a choice. In fact, really, all you can control is your choices. All you can do is what you choose to do. And we've tried to teach our kids that hey, one of the phrases we've said before, if you're a parent, I'm just going to say this because you should use this phrase with your kids. It's so good. What we'll tell them is, hey, you can either choose a better attitude or you can choose a consequence. But you are choosing something right now, so you better choose something. Like great phrase, right? Like we tell them, you better choose a better attitude or you're about to choose something worse. I'm telling you, it's coming. So we tell them that. And we just taught our kids, especially our boys. I read something by a guy who said that if you are the father of boys, this was so good, that every man wants to believe that he can do hard things. And the job of a father is to teach his sons how to do hard things by putting them in hard situations. And for me, it was like a convicting thought. I realized I don't think I'm putting my kids in enough hard situations. And we did a summer, two summers ago, where we did a summer of hard things, where we kept throwing them in these hard things. Like my youngest son, he was scared of alligators. And so we went canoeing down the Hillsborough River by alligators. And he started off canoeing, holding the very top of the oar, like that, because he was sure these alligators were going to jump the boat. And the only way to not make him scared of the alligators jumping the boat is to like paddle over by the alligators. It was probably traumatic. He'll probably need to go to counseling, but it helped him kind of overcome the fear. But we talked about, you do hard things. And one of the rules of our house is that we didn't really have a day or an age where they could start dating, but we just told them that when you're ready, we'll talk about it. But if you want to start dating a girl, you have got to call that girl's father and you have got to ask him permission to take out that girl. Now, that wasn't that big of a deal until my oldest decided he wanted to ask a girl out. And he said, hey, they started talking a little bit. I said, okay, are you guys going to go out? You want to take her on a date? Yeah, I want to take her on a date, Dad. Well, you need to call her dad and you need to ask his permission. You know what he said? Dad, nobody does that. You know what I said? But we do in this family. We do here. And when we look at living in the kingdom of God, you know what? That's what we do in this family. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about all of the desires of the flesh, but then he talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. In other words, they have decided they're not going to live in the kingdom of this world, and they crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. And he says, this is how we live as a part of the kingdom of God. And I know what people have said before is, Mike, you don't understand. You don't understand the way they treat me at work. You don't understand what they say about me. You don't understand the posts that are on social media. I disagree with them politically. I disagree with them religiously. I disagree with them so much. So, Mike, what you're saying is that I should not be mean to them. I should not speak bad about them. I should not gossip behind their back. I should not say anything about them, but I should be kind to them? No. That's not how it works. That's how it works in this family. That's how it works in this family. Are you saying that, okay, it doesn't really matter. I'm just looking at something like it's no big deal. No one really knows. It's hidden, or maybe I'm flirting, or maybe I'm talking to them. I'm sending DMs, but it's no big deal. It's harmless. It doesn't really matter. Are you saying that I shouldn't be doing any of that and I should be living separate from all of that and only focus on my spouse and not worried about anything else, but that's the only person I get to flirt with, the only person I get to talk to, the only person I get to lust after and look after? Mike, that's not really realistic, but that's how it works in this family. What about the guy? The guy who goes in the merge lane on the highway and waits to the very last minute and cuts everybody else in line, and then he tries to sneak in. Are you saying that I need to let him in and be gentle and not slam him into the railing in the highway? Mike, nobody does that. But that's how it works in this family. And when we choose to live in the kingdom of God, it's different. And when we say we are going to live in the kingdom of God and choose to live in the kingdom of God, we have to make a choice that even though the world tells us how to live and the world tells us to get revenge, the world tells us to get what you can, the world says cut corners, cheat, do everything you can. As long as no one finds out, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you can. The kingdom of God says, hey, we are called to live differently and different lives. And if we want to live the abundant life that Jesus talks about, we have to choose to love, bring peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. And we have to allow these behaviors to dictate how we act and how we behave and how we interact with others. So here's my question for us today as we close. As we get ready to close, my question for us is this, is that where in your life do you need to choose to live in the kingdom of God more? Where in your life do you need to, maybe for some of us, we walked in today and we realized there are some behaviors that are more associated with the kingdom of this world. More things, maybe they're secrets, maybe they're very open and very real, but we've said, everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. Yes, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to believe in Jesus, but I'm not giving this up. Where do we need to give up? What are the behaviors we need to walk away from? What are the behaviors we need to stop doing? And then for some of us, we need to ask the question, what do we need to start doing? What's the right thing that you know you need to start doing, but you've either been putting off or fighting against? And you know it's the right thing, and you know God is calling you to do it. And you know the person he's calling you to forgive, and you know the neighbor he's calling you to love, and you know the person at your work that you need to quit talking bad about. You need to start saying kind words about them. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's good for building other stuff. Like you need to change your speech. What are the words that you need to begin to speak well of others? And the call for us as Christ followers, especially as Christ followers, is decide we are going to live in the kingdom of God. And when we live in the kingdom of God, we are going to submit to the King and let him determine our actions, our success, our behaviors. And so for some of us, today is about submitting to the King. And to say, God, there's some behaviors I need to walk away from. There's some behaviors I need to start doing. And maybe for some of us, we walked in today and we would not call ourselves a Christ follower. We would not say that we're following Jesus. But today is a day, an opportunity for you to submit to him. And say, Lord, I've tried it on my own. And I have tried to live in the kingdom of the world, and this just has not worked. And I'm ready to try something different. So I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want to give you an opportunity. If today is a day for you to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life and decide that he is going to be the King that you're going to submit to. If that's you, I'm going to invite you just to lift up your hand right now to say, Lord, I submit to you. You are my King. Just raise up your hand right now. It's an opportunity for you to submit to him. Awesome. Awesome. And let's pray together. Father, we choose to submit to you. We ask for you to be the Lord of our lives, that you would come in and be our King. Lord, we want to try it different, and we want to try walking in your kingdom every single day. So we ask that you would guide us in this process. In your name. And Lord, we also pray for all of us who are here. Maybe we are Christ followers, but God, we've realized today that we need to step outside of the kingdom of the world. And there's some behaviors that we need to stop doing. God, we pray a conviction on our hearts that we would stop doing those things. And God, we pray a conviction on our hearts that we would start doing some things. Lord, we want to submit to you fully. We want to live in your kingdom fully. So right now we ask that you would give us the courage to make the decisions we need to make today, that we would live differently from this point forward. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the way you're moving, and thank you for the series, and I thank you for this church. Lord, I pray a blessing on this church in Jesus' name, that you would move in their lives, God, that you in the next couple of years as they move towards this property and move towards this building, and that you would bless Kevin's leadership and the staff, and that God, you would do an incredible work. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you continue to speak and move and lead. And we're so grateful for you, that you are our Heavenly Father and our King, and we submit to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.